Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about Mall of America's Holiday for Heroes, and we'll see what steps the military is taking to increase resiliency in the force. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week marks the anniversary of the Japanese attack at Pearl Harbor. As Americans, we all share a connection to that day of infamy. But as Minnesotans, we have an additional unique connection. Did you know that Minnesotans fired the first shot against the Japanese at Pearl Harbor on that day? In 1899, the Minnesota legislature authorized the formation of a naval militia. This Minnesota naval militia had chapters in Bemidji, Crosby, Duluth, and Pine City. When war was declared in 1917, the naval militia was mobilized and shipped off to the Philadelphia Naval Yard to become part of the Greater Navy. The ship that the St. Paul unit would train and fight on was the USS Ward, a World War I era destroyer. A little over 2 hours before the Japanese attack, the USS Ward, which was on duty providing security outside of Pearl Harbor, saw a submarine following a supply ship into the entrance of Pearl Harbor. The crew, all from Minnesota, fired its first shot at the sub at 6:45 a.m. The first shot missed, but a second shot from her 4-inch gun found the mark. You can see part of this history by visiting the original 4-inch gun which fired the first shot on the grounds of the Veterans Service Building in St. Paul.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here today.
Annette, every time you come here, you bring along with you another Yellow Ribbon entity, and today you've got a Yellow Ribbon company, the Mall of America. They became Yellow Ribbon on January 17th, 2014.
Yes, the Mall of America has been a wonderful partner and has made wonderful, amazing commitments over and above within their organization and within the communities to support our service members, veterans, and military families.
And who did you bring with you today?
So today, I have Director of Security, Doug Reynolds, and Supervisor of Security Training, who's also a member of our Minnesota National Guard, Lieutenant Adam Kodrowski.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
I don't know who's going to talk first here, but can you tell us, Mall of America, we had you on the show some time ago when you became a Yellow Ribbon entity, and you had to go through a process to apply for that, and Annette, as I recall, tells me that you went through that with flying colors and got it done well. Can one of you give us an update? What kind of commitments has Mall of America made to as being a Yellow Ribbon company?
Sure. I'll tell you, you know, when you first take it on, it looks like a lot of paperwork. But Annette was good at breaking it down into manageable bites for us. We did get through it, and it's been a great program. Some of the commitments we have, if a person applies for a job at Mall of America and we see that they're a vet, they automatically get an interview. That doesn't mean they're going to get hired, but, boy, they're going to get an interview. We do other things. We've committed to helping them with resumes. Sometimes when folks come off military service, their resume is heavy with military lingo, and civilian employers can't understand it. And we've offered, if you will, a translation service for them. There's many other commitments we do. We're part of that whole Beyond the Yellow Ribbon network. So if we hear that a family needs help within Minnesota, maybe shoveling a sidewalk, raking leaves, whatever it is, we'll send people out to help with that.
And we know that you participated in the Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf event last year, and we were glad to have you help us sponsor that to raise some money to help Minnesota military families in that. So how many overall employees and how many veterans do you think work out at Mall of America, just roughly?
Tom, I'd say we probably have close to 75 veterans or current service members working for our company, but that doesn't include all of our military families that our employees with us.
And there's a lot of stuff going on at the mall. It seems like there's always some new project out there, isn't there?
There is. We're always building and expanding and trying to figure out what the next new thing is. I've got to tell you, the area that I oversee is security. And for me, it's so easy to hire people with that military background. They seem to understand it. They get it. They have that sense about them that of a good work ethic. And we all kind of speak a common language, and it really does make life a little easier.
And how many years have you been working in security out there?
19 years, almost 20.
Has the security situation at the Mall of America changed over the last decade?
Absolutely. Just like the rest, anything, it's evolved and grown.
So you must have a lot of things you're thinking about today that maybe you weren't thinking about 10 years ago.
Absolutely. You know, just like I said, everything evolves and changes. But I will tell you that I think that the training that the military provided me helped with that. It gave me the ability to have some flexibility and understand that it's not enough to have a plan. You have to have flexibility and the ability to change with the situation.
Well, and the good news is all we ever hear about is many events at the Mall of America, and they all seem to come off very well done, and everybody has a good time, and you've helped a lot of people raise some money for various charities, and not being in the news for problems is certainly, I would think, an indication that you guys are doing a pretty good job.
Thanks, Tom. That's our goal.
Well, we want everybody to be safe while they're out there Christmas shopping, don't we?
Absolutely.
Now, you guys have an event coming up, and one of you want to fill us in on what that's about? Holiday for Heroes?
Yeah, absolutely. On December 20th, we're hosting our second annual Holiday for Heroes, and we invite our veteran service members and military families to come on out to the Mall of America and enjoy Nickelodeon Universe and a breakfast and just enjoy the day with their families.
And how'd the first one work last year?
It was excellent. We had over 2,000 people come out, and this year we're hoping to at least double that, but I hope we don't have to turn anybody away because we really want it to be a huge event and have all the families come out and enjoy the day.
Well, we've got a lot of listeners in the Minnesota Military Radio Network, guys, so be ready. But veterans know how to stand in lines if they have to, too, don't they?
Absolutely, Tom.
So tell us again, that's on December 20th?
Yep, December 20th, and you can register on the Mall of America website. And we do want you to register because we are going to be serving a breakfast, and we got to know how many troops we're going to be feeding out there. So you can register on the Mall of America website. It's www.mallofamerica.com/events/holidayforheroes.
So we want everybody to go out there and sign up and be a guest at Mall of America and have some fun over Christmas. How are the crowds out there? Pretty good this fall?
They are. If you haven't been out there, though, certainly show up. You know, I always like to meet new people and hear their stories, so come on out.
Well, my secret to the Mall of America is if I go out there shopping, I get there when you open, and I run around and get my shopping done, and I get gone.
Well, you know, if you like the opportunity, you can stay all day. We'd allow that. We wouldn't kick you out or anything. So
you're sure you'd let me stay?
I'd do that. I might even get you a cup of coffee on the way.
Well, I'll have to ask my wife if she wants to go out there and spend part of a day at Mall of America. Can you guys tell us, how's it been to be Yellow Ribbon? Have you gotten good recognition out of it, and have you learned anything from the communities and the other Yellow Ribbon entities?
You know, personally, it's a point of pride for me. I was a member of the Minnesota National Guard for 20 years and 6 months, and it's something I actually wish we would have done sooner, but I'm glad that we did it. We do a lot of tours in Mall of America, and it's always a point of pride for me when I can walk down the hall and we have a board that shows our Yellow Ribbon commitment, and it shows pictures of kind of our different service members back in the day and different units they served with and that type of thing. It always makes me feel good when I can show that as a highlight of our tour.
And are you enjoying it just as much?
Absolutely. It's great to work for a company that is investing so much time, money, and effort into this program, because we do get to do so much, both on a large scale like Holiday for Heroes, but also at a small community level. Just recently, we sent some team members over to help mow a lawn for a family that was had a service member deployed. And then in addition to that, we had a 90-day reintegration event out at the mall. We were welcoming back the 204th Area Support Medical Company, and they had their families out there and enjoyed the park. So it was great to have them out there as well.
Annette, something tells me you enjoy having Mall of America as a Yellow Ribbon company and part of that organization.
They have been such wonderful partners from all areas, from hiring our veterans, recognizing their veteran and military-connected employees, as well as their community partnerships, being involved in our local community Yellow Ribbon networks. The other thing that the Mall of America has been a great partner with is our Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. They have lent us their creative people within the Mall of America to help us line up entertainment for Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. They've also lent us all of their volunteer employees that come out and help make Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair a wonderful day.
Well, gentlemen, sounds like you're doing a great job as Yellow Ribbon Company, and I hope you have a great event. One more time, where can people go to sign up for this event?
They can just go to the Mall of America website or simply Google Holiday for Heroes, and it'll bring you straight to our registration page.
And you'd like them to register as opposed to just showing up?
Yes, please do register. and we'll make sure we have enough food for everybody.
And it's December 20th, and what time does it start?
December 20th, registration or signing in starts at 7 a.m., and we'll turn all the rides on at 8 o'clock for everybody.
Okay, final thoughts for you.
Final thoughts, just, again, point of pride. It's great to be a member of the Yellow Ribbon community and give something back.
Well, it's fun to have you back in the studio again, and I hope you have a great event this fall, December 20th, Holiday for Heroes. Go to pre-register and go to that event. Annette, 30 seconds.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to the Mall America. They are a model organization that we have as part of our Yellow Ribbon Company program that truly showcases their support of service members, military families, and the veterans in Minnesota, and we appreciate them as partners.
Thank you, everybody. That was Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach, and Adam Kurowski and Doug Reynolds from Mall of America. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll see what the military is, what steps the military is taking to increase resiliency in the force. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to meet with Major Ron Jarvie from the Minnesota Army National Guard. And we're going to talk about the R3SP program, and he's going to explain what that means to us in just a moment. Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me again.
Since I saw you the last time, sir, you got promoted. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I was doing something right, I guess.
So along with promotions, you usually get some new positions. What are your positions with the Guard now?
Yeah, so my new positions, since being promoted, I moved into a command position. I'm the commander for the 147th Human Resources Company out of Arden Hills. There's about 105 human resources soldiers, maintenance, communication specialists. And so just a great unit to be a part of. I actually started in that unit when I was enlisted back in 2003 as an enlisted soldier. So
that's your weekend command?
That is my weekend command.
And your full-time position, sir?
The full-time position is the Resilience, Risk Reduction, and Suicide Prevention Program for the Minnesota National Guard.
So that's what R3SP stands for.
You got it. We just say R3SP because it's a lot shorter and it's not as much of a mouthful on the radio. So,
can you tell me that in English one more time?
Resilience, Risk Reduction, and Suicide Prevention.
Oh, okay, and we're going to talk about that program because it's a very important program. Sir, we had you on, I think, about a year and a half ago when we did a suicide prevention program, and you were already involved in this. And I think some people have heard in the press that it's been an issue in the Minnesota National Guard and an issue throughout the military service that we lose too many service members and veterans every day. How big an issue is suicide and suicide prevention?
You know, it continues to be a primary focus for the Minnesota National Guard, but across the country, not just within the military, but society in general. You know, today we're here to talk about the R3SP program and what we do, not just suicide prevention, but everything before, how we take care of an individual, how we take care of soldiers, everything from employment to financial relationships, mental health. Those are the things that if we can help a service member out and help their family out, you know, those protective factors can help somebody and we can protect them from suicide. And we can be there to be a support for them.
Major, I know that when we've had General Nash in here, the Adjutant General in the studio, he's talked about resiliency many times. And he's talked about all of the various programs that are out there to help our service members and their families. Much different than it was 40-some years ago when I was in the military. And glad to see that there's so many programs, but it's really one of his priorities, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's the program, like you said, it's changed. And it was pretty much non-existent, you know, back when you were in. And even 10 years ago, you look at how far this program has come. And the team that I have a great team. And our mission really comes into focus of improving the wellness and the resiliency of our service members. And how we do that is we just want to work on reducing stigma, increasing the awareness that there's resources and support out there. And so I know we'll get into that in a little bit, but basically just talking about what my team does and how we can spread the knowledge. Because the problem, as we see, is our military constantly is evolving. You know, soldiers retire, they move on. Service members come in each and every day. And so It's just a constant conversation, just like suicide, that we want to have throughout the year to remind our service members and their families that there are resources and we can take care of a lot of these stressors in their life before they become too much to handle on their own.
Major, we've talked a lot on this program over the 5 years about deployments and when your soldiers and airmen are deployed. There are a lot of programs out there to help their families, and the focus of all those programs are to be that if there are issues back here when you're deployed that are affecting your family, the quicker we can take care of those issues, the more effective those soldiers can be in focusing on the mission, getting it done right, and getting it home. When they're here and they're not deployed, they have family issues. They might have financial issues. They might have depression issues. They might have PTSD. But once again, I think your priority is to help them with those issues so that they can have a happy life and be good service members and be able to focus on the mission again. Isn't that what the whole purpose is?
Absolutely. And so some of those professionals that we have in place in the Minnesota National Guard and the military, a lot of my providers, they're a great team. They're passionate. We have psychological health coordinators, and they do a lot of great work consulting with our leaders. You know, our leaders are military leaders. We don't expect them to necessarily be mental health professionals. And so we do have those within the military now that consult with our leaders to help provide the best solutions for our service members when we identify issues or concerns. They provide the crisis and the traumatic event support. So if we, for example, a service member, they lose a loved one or they lose that job or they don't get that promotion. I mean, a traumatic event or a setback in their life, if they're having a hard time coping with it, we have military family life counselors as well that can support not only that individual but their families, parenting issues. We also have them there for the children of our families. And so those are two specific resources within my program that talk about when we talk about families. We also have transition assistant advisors that are there to connect to benefits. They're there to focus on the financial piece. And then we have, I have two military uniform personnel that are there as a resilience coordinator and a suicide prevention coordinator. And we can get into that in a little bit as well, which is just talking about the resilience program.
We're speaking with Major Ron Jarvey from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Major, when I came back from Vietnam 40-some years ago, the guys that wanted to stay in the military sometimes came back and they had combat fatigue. We didn't call it PTSD back then. But those guys, my buddies, that were suffering from something that happened in a war zone, didn't want to report it because they wanted to stay in, and they were afraid that if they did report it, they'd somehow be damaged and they'd be let go from the military. Is that still the case? Do your soldiers and airmen trust that if they reach out for help, that they're not going to get stigmatized by it, they're not going to get marked by it?
So stigma is always a challenge. And from the top down, from General Nash all the way down, it's a leadership message that we encourage our service members to let us know. Because the problem that we see is when a service member gets to a point, and we see this a lot. Lately, it's been, you know, I'm a type A personality. I've always been able to do it on my own. I can do this on my own. And when we find out, it becomes so much of a barrier. It affects more than just their military career. It affects their family. It affects their jobs on the civilian side. So the message that we want all service members to understand is, hey, let us know ahead of time. Let us know when you get behind on your bills. Let us know if you lose your job. And that's a tough thing with stigma is, you know, we have a perception of ourselves, right? We see ourselves as strong just naturally because of the uniform, because of who we are. And if we're a type A, it makes it even worse sometimes. And so trying to break through that is what the leadership message is and what we're trying to communicate to our service members. Because, yes, every individual is different. But if we know about those issues or those concerns ahead of time through those resources that I just talked about, and we also have a substance abuse program, we have licensed alcohol and drug counselors. We're the only state in the country in the National Guard that has two licensed alcohol and drug counselors that does free Rule 25 assessments. And then we also have two military behavioral health officers. And so the resources that we have are accessible to all of our service members. It's just a matter of can we have our service members step forward and say, yes, it's okay, I'm going to ask for help. And I have a personal story. When I came home from a deployment, I had my own personal challenges. And long story short, but I ended up seeing a counselor for about 2.5 years on different topics, but the main focus was just my transition back home. But that individual and that counselor, and they're not all created equally, so it's really important to find the right counselor. But I went through it myself, and I'm sitting here in front of you today, promoted in a command position, and I still got counseling, and I seeked help, and I'm still here serving in uniform. So
as usual, our service members and their families, strong, proud, hard for them to ask for help.
Right.
But there are many, many resources available regardless of what type of help they might need. And if they reach out for that help and they get that help, it's not going to harm them in any way, and they might be able to deal with it a lot quicker and a lot better.
Absolutely.
Help is there, so ask.
It was the best thing that I could have done, not only, and now looking back, I didn't have two kids before, but it was the best thing I could do as a father, as a husband, and now as a military leader. It's made me a better leader because I was able to take care of the internal issues that I was struggling with.
Major, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got a couple experts that we're going to introduce to the conversation, and we'll dig in a little bit deeper on how to recognize some issues and how to deal with them. We're speaking with Major Ron Jarvie on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Major Ron Jarvie about resiliency in the force. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
Over the years, I have witnessed many unselfish acts of service and dedication by Minnesota's veterans. There are many veterans in Minnesota who say, I'm okay, take care of my buddies first. We instinctively, as veterans, watch out for our fellow comrades. But now I encourage you to take it a step further and watch out for yourself as well. I ask each and every one of you to review your own personal situation and take the time to visit with our County Veterans Service Officer to find out what benefits you and your family may be eligible for. To learn more about the benefits you're entitled to, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Major, just as the commissioner just said, a lot of your soldiers and airmen say, "Take care of my buddies. I'm okay. I'm proud. I don't need help." But there's a lot of resources available, isn't there?
There's a lot of resources, and today we have a couple resources that I've had the pleasure of working with over the last year and a half. Melissa Heinen is the suicide prevention coordinator from the Minnesota Department of Health. And then we have Dr. Dan Reitenberg, who is the executive director of Suicide Awareness, Voices of Education, SAVE. And together they've also served as the co-chairs for the Minnesota State Suicide Prevention Task Force.
Melissa, Dan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Melissa, I think we'll, ladies first, we'll open with you.
Okay.
We've been talking about how Major Jarvie and the Minnesota National Guard are providing as many resources as possible to help our service members and their families. And you seem to, both of you, you and Dan, have a lot of expertise to help him with that job, don't you?
Well, it's been a joy to work with the National Guard in Minnesota and see how they've really made this a priority issue and have brought together not only the National Guard but the community and wrapped around both service members and their families, and really been trying to focus a lot on bringing in community connectedness, being mindful of not just your own health but the health of your service members and your families, and making sure that they have the resources necessary so that they can enjoy and have hope and move forward as a family and a community. So it's been really a pleasure to work with them and see them really lead the effort in this way.
And Dan, bringing in someone with your expertise and years of experience, you've got to be have a lot of tools to offer the Minnesota National Guard to help with this project.
We do. As a matter of fact, several years ago, we helped with the wallet pocket card that people in the Guard use and carry with them. Very quick, ready access to understanding the warning signs of suicide, some of the risk factors, what to do, how to ask the right questions. So for many years, they've been really committed to this, and we're really fortunate that they take it so seriously.
Dan, what are some of the things that might cause someone to think about taking their own life?
Unfortunately, there's too many. As soon as somebody loses a sense of hope, a lack of future, nothing in front of them any longer. Another big issue that we see is a sense of purpose. And people that serve our country have a great sense of purpose, but when that seems to go away for them, we see their risk increase. We also hear lots about depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. These are the things commonly people think about. But you add to that chemical use and abuse, and you combine all these things in one place, which is in one person's head, and you have somebody at great risk of suicide.
And Melissa, I know that you're studying these topics, and I saw some statistics in my briefing papers that said that the men have a greater incidence of suicide than women.
Yes, both men and women are at risk in different ways. Women tend to attempt more than males, and males end up dying more from suicide than females. A big piece about it is making sure that we seek out help, that we're comfortable asking for help, and that those that end up intervening, they feel competent and comfortable treating the situation and connecting someone to resources. So regardless of who you are, whether you're a service member, a family member, a coworker, there are resources available for everyone. One is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. The other is a Veteran Crisis Line, which is the same number, but press 1. So regardless of whether you want to call for yourself or call on behalf of someone, there are resources available, whether you are female or male. But it's really important to seek those resources out.
Melissa, another thing that jumped out of that briefing paper was we've had some tribal veteran service officers on the show in the past, and they've shown us that up to 25% of the American Indians enlist in the service, which is a much higher proportion of than the rest of the population. But they also, it seems, have a greater problem with suicide.
They do have a disproportional burden with the American Indian community. And a big portion of this can be multiple factors, mental illness, substance abuse, social connectedness, supports, available resources, healthcare resources, a variety of issues. And so a big part of what we are doing at the Minnesota Department of Health is working with our tribal communities to build their competency and capacity to address connecting people who are at risk with services, as well as building some of the protective factors up in the community. So having after-school programs, increasing nutrition in the schools, having exercise programs, all those just general health and wellness things are critical piece that we need to build into all communities, but especially working with our tribal communities that they have those available.
We're speaking with Major Ron Jarvey, Melissa Heinen, and Dan Rydenberg on Minnesota Military Radio. Dan, most people probably think suicide, it won't happen in my family, and it's the furthest thing from their mind.
Yep.
But are there ways to recognize that there's a problem with one of your family members or one of your friends, and how do you pick that up?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you asked that question, because that's really what a lot of people say is, it's never going to happen to me or my family, and we never saw it coming. We never saw what was happening. Unfortunately, about 85% of the time, the people that we lose to suicide gave warning signs off. And most of the time, it was communicated, but not necessarily verbally. It was more behaviorally. Looking for a way to die, looking for a method to take their life is one of the warning signs we want people to pay attention to that's behavioral. They may say things verbally that aren't direct. They may not come out and say, I'm going to kill myself today, but they might say, everybody would be better off without me, or I'm a burden to everybody in the family. It's paying attention to those things and recognizing that those statements and those behaviors literally might be warning signs of suicide, not just to get attention. It is to get somebody to say, something's going on and I need help with it.
And what do you do if you see those signs? Where do you go?
Well, the first thing we want people to do is stay with them, not leave them alone. As Melissa mentioned, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That will direct you to the local crisis center in your area. It doesn't matter where you are in this country, you can do that. You can take somebody to an ER and have them assessed. You can sit and talk with them and determine maybe they're really just needing some support right now. Maybe you go on the websites and you find some more information out about really where they're at. Maybe this is something that they can actually work through. Through social media today, Facebook, earlier this year, we helped launch a new feature on Facebook that allows somebody to get information on how to handle stress and how to cope with some of the things that are going on and connect them to local resources. So there's a lot of things you can do right away. But the most important thing is to stay with them and talk to them. It's not leave them alone.
So recognize some of the warning signs. And if you're not sure, and it's a relative or a friend, you can call the crisis hotline yourself and say, I'm not sure, this is what I'm hearing, and they'll coach you through it.
Exactly. They'll give you the right questions to ask. And you don't, we heard the major talk about this earlier, it's not about training people to be mental health professionals. We don't want that. We want you to be a caring, compassionate person that can help support them through this crisis.
So, Melissa, if you think a family member really has a problem, do you start this intervention process? Do you ask them the question, are you thinking about killing yourself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, I mean, what they've found is that people who know of a resource are more comfortable having the conversation. So I recommend everyone today, if you have a cell phone, to put one of these numbers or look up your mobile crisis team. If you put into Google your county and then mobile crisis, you'll find a phone number. So the first step is to prepare for the potential that you may have to have this conversation. So get a resource in your phone number, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255, or your local mobile crisis. And if you are concerned about someone, the important thing to do is to re-share what you heard. So you kind of hear, it sounds like you're having a lot of financial difficulty, you're struggling with your wife, you don't feel like life's worth living, you feel like a burden to everyone. Sometimes when people feel this way, they feel like they want to just end it all or they want to kill themselves. Have you thought of this? And if someone says yes, then the important thing to say is, I'm concerned about you. This is a serious concern because I care about you so much. I want to make sure that we get you to talk to someone and I can help you. I can walk. I can drive you there. I can call the phone number for you, but somehow you help connect them. A big piece is kind of helping someone if they're having financial problems, connect them with a financial person. If they're having, eliminate some of the burden that they're carrying on their shoulders can potentially eliminate their thoughts about suicide. Sometimes they're just so overwhelmed and feel hopeless. It's not that they want to end their life. They want to end the situation they're currently feeling like they're in.
Major?
Yeah. And Tom, that's a great resource, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, the 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. And if you press 1, that directly connects somebody, if they're a veteran or a service member, that will connect them to somebody that is trained to talk with somebody that's a veteran or service member. So use the same number, press 1, and that gets them right to that veteran resource as well. And I appreciate what these two have said because, you can't iterate that enough to our community members, family, or whatnot. Because I think part of the challenge is if you're not trained, you just don't want to engage in that conversation because you think you have to solve the problem for that individual, whether they're a service member or not. And I can't say it enough, but we don't expect everybody to fix the problem and be there from start to finish. But if they can just make that resource connection that these two just talked about, that is the best thing that we could have a family member or a friend or a spouse.
So once again, help is available. You just have to reach out for it and ask for it. And for your service members, for your soldiers and airmen, they can go to their chaplain, they can go through the chain of command, they can go to transition assistance. If there's a root problem that's causing some of this depression and suicide thoughts, if it's a financial problem, there are resources like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation available to help with some of those things. And the folks over at Transition Assistance know where all those resources are. So you've got the people there to help with the problems is the message.
You got it.
Dan?
Can I just add one thing in? Because this is part of that stigma. It has to do with everybody being afraid to ask the question. Let me tell you that the research shows over and over again, if you ask somebody about suicide, it isn't going to lead them to suicide. It's not going to put a thought in their head. It's not going to make them want to do it anymore. It's actually going to relieve some of their anxiety and their stress. So it's really important to be able to ask that question.
And maybe ask it softly by saying, are you thinking about harming yourself?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep.
And let's get some help. Let's try to fix this.
Yep.
Okay, we have to take a short break. When we come back in the fourth segment, we'll show how the community is working together to solve this problem, both for our military and civilians as well. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Major Ron Jarvie from the Minnesota National Guard and two members of the Minnesota State Suicide Prevention Task Force, Melissa Heinen and Dan Rydenberg. Major, I want to come back to you. There's a lot we've been talking for 5 years, and you and I have been on the show several times and talking about these issues and all the resources available and all the help that's there. But the reality of the situation when we don't talk about deployments is you get your soldiers and airmen 2 days a month and 2 weeks in the summertime. Most of the time they're at home with their families and they're at their civilian job and they're doing those things. How do you find out how do you stay in touch so that you know if they've got some kind of issues so you can help?
So, yeah, we do as much as we can. We have like we were talking about before, we have that resilience program. You know, we train our soldiers on self-awareness and self-regulation, optimism, mental agility. We help them connect to each other. But one of those connection points that's very, very important is our communities, because you're right, 2 days out of the month, if I don't have that connection with that soldier and their employer sees them, oftentimes what we find out, unfortunately, after somebody dies by suicide is that we find that the spouse knew something, the family knew something, the friend knew something, their unit may have known that they were going through something. And so typically what's very, very important is that my program works very closely with our community partners, because this isn't something that we can do on our own. And so we've had a great opportunity over the last couple of years to work on the state suicide prevention task force. And the state was willing to allow the National Guard to be a part of it. And it was a phenomenal experience. And both Melissa and Dan can probably speak a little bit more to the task force and what the goals were. But that was one way that we were able to tie into the community a little bit more.
Melissa, do you want to expand on that? I imagine you're working with religious leaders, you're working with community leaders, you're working with all the resources available everywhere.
Yeah, it was a great honor to be a co-chair for the task force. A big effort for us was to make sure that it was a public-private partnership, that it had state and local representation, and it had urban, rural, it had survivors as well as professionals. I myself, it was a huge priority for me, both personally and professionally, as a suicide loss survivor. I wore that hat as well as a professional suicide prevention coordinator. And I'm really pleased with the outcome of the task force. We have a state plan that really focuses on building community capacity, meaning having the community sort of support and respond to the concerns versus having someone at the state have the ownership of the issue or the response. So I'm really excited about that building capacity. And building capacity at the local level can be something like having volunteerism, having intergenerational activities where you bring youth with older people. It doesn't always have to have suicide in the name to actually be doing suicide prevention. The best suicide prevention is before we have an attempt or a crisis. Doesn't mean we don't also need to intervene there and make sure that we have mobile crisis teams that are well-trained and emergency staff and law enforcement, all that. But really, it's across the continuum, across the lifespan, and really prioritizing some high-risk populations that we currently know of, which is middle-aged males and American Indian youth. But whatever we do for middle-aged males and American Indian youth should really benefit all Minnesota residents, because it should be a systems change and a community connected approach versus an individual specific approach.
And Dan, is there must be an educational component here, because there's a lot of information available, but people don't know it's there.
Well, exactly. There are a lot of programs out there that people can get connected with. There's treatment, there's intervention programs, there's just general education programs for communities. There's also education and training for professionals, because we know that one of the key entry points is in ERs, to emergency rooms, to get doctors and nurses to better identify really what's going on when somebody shows up in their ER. So the educational component is added to all the regular awareness that we're doing, reducing stigma, building community capacity, key components.
So you really want to get the word out that there's help available in the National Crisis Intervention Hotline, 1-800-273-TALK, 8255, so that people know that. Melissa?
And if people are interested in learning for themselves how to recognize someone who may be at risk and how to connect them, Minnesota Department of Health currently has some training dollars, and we'll be having more training available for communities and organizations. So if people are interested, they can look on our website at Minnesota Department of Health.
From a National Guard perspective, a couple of things that we have done every year, well, we did it for the first time this past year, actually, was we did a suicide awareness fun run, and where we had community come out to the Arden Hills training facility. We had great support from the community. We had over 500 soldiers and community members. And what we did there was we just talked about mental wellness, and we talked about suicide, and we handed out, you know, we had a focus on firearm safety, and we handed out gun locks. Just all little things that contribute to this whole conversation about resiliency, how to protect yourself, how to keep yourself healthy mentally and physically.
And Dan, it sounds like part of that's to make sure you live in a safe environment where things like guns are locked up.
That's right. And same thing with pills, keys to a car if somebody's at risk, so they're not going to drive their car in a haphazard way, ropes and cords, sharp objects, all of those things. I think the most important thing to recognize is that we're all in this together. And if you identify somebody that's at risk, or if you have a gut feeling that something is wrong, ask the question, reach out for help, and help save somebody's life.
Thank you. Ron, we got about 30 seconds left. You've got a lot of resources available to help your service members, don't you?
We do. I'm going to close with one quick story. One thing I like to do in command is have town halls. I ask my soldiers and let them give me the good, bad, and the ugly. And in the last month, I had a town hall session, and on a note card, I asked them to write down if there's anything that they didn't have an opportunity to talk about. And the one soldier wrote down that said that the military family has been more supportive than my family in some ways. But what they said was, keep caring and keep asking the questions. And I think that's the key that we've all talked about, is just ask the question.
And make sure they know we have the resources. Help is there. If you need it, ask for the help. And if you can't find anything else, go to the National Crisis Intervention Hotline, 1-800-273-TALK, 8255. Ron, Major Jarvie, Major, congratulations on the promotion, and thanks for being with us. Dan, Melissa, great talking to you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Melissa Heinen and Dan Reidenberg from the Minnesota State Suicide Prevention Task Force and Major Ron Jarvie from the Minnesota National Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Adam Kudrowski and Doug Reynolds from Mall of America, Major Ron Jarvie, Melissa Heinen, Dr. Dan Reidenberg, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we visit with members of the Commander's Task Force from the American Legion, VFW, and Disabled American Veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.